Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we are studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph. Sefer Shmuel ushers in a new era for the Jewish nation, both spiritually and politically. The Bar Tanura commenting on the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that outlines our Mesorah, tells us that Sefer Shmuel is the transition between the era of the Zekinim and the Nevi'im. Tchilatam shel Nevi'im, Shehem Eli HaKoin uShmuel HaRamati. Politically speaking, Shmuel is the one who initiated the monarchy for Am Yisrael and inaugurated the first two kings. This beautiful Haftarah that we read on Rosh Hashanah begins with the story of Elkanah and his family going up to Shiloh on what the Mefarshim tells was Rosh Hashanah to bring a karban. When he distributes the meat from the karban, he gives Peninnah, his wife who has many children, many portions. And then he turns to Chana, who is barren, and gives her only one portion, mana achat apayim, a portion of meat which evokes a spatial response. According to Rashi, it was a choice piece of meat, so it evoked a positive facial response. According to Radak, it actually evoked anger within Elkanah, as it was a glaring reminder of the fact that Chana had no children to whom to distribute the meat. In any case, this distributing of the karban stirred up a lot of emotion. We then hear of the interaction between Pnina and Chana. V'chi asata tzarata gam ka'as ba'avur harima. Pnina, not for naught, is referred to as Chana's tzara. Tzara is actually a relation which is a person's, husband's, other wife. She would deliberately upset Chana, either bavur harima, when speaking of Chana's barrenness, it upset her because it was a soft spot for her, or bavur harima in order to upset her. We are told the shem shamayim nitzkavna. She did this for the sake of heaven in order to inspire Chana to pray. And pray she did. The Gemara tells us, Kama hilchasa gavravavsa ika lemishma mehane kri zechana. How many important halachot can be learned from these psukim relating to Chana? The question is, what made these tefillot different from all other years? I assume that every year when Chana went up and she was upset, she would daven. As we're told, this was an annual ritual. V'chein ya'aseh shana b'shana. But as we know, this was the year in which Chana's tefillot were answered and she was granted a child, Shmuel Hanavi. So what was different this year from all other years? Elkanah, in an effort to comfort Chana, says to her, Vayomer la Elkanah isha, Chana la metivki, v'la melo tochli, v'la meyera levavich, halo anochi tovlach me'asara banim? Elkanah says, why do you cry? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart upset? Am I not better for you? Is our relationship not better for you than 10 sons? We actually do not hear a verbal response from Chana. The response we have is Vatakam Chana. Her response is getting up and going to pray. What was different this year? Let's learn together a beautiful mashal in Brachot Lamed Aleph Bet. We are told that Chana can be likened to the following situation. Mashal ma hadavar domeh, lemelech basar vadam, shasa sudal avadav, ba'ani echad v'amad al hapetach, amar lahem, tnu li prusa achad, v'lo hishkichu alav, dachak v'nechnas etzel hamelech, amar lo, Adoni HaMelech, mikol seudah shasita, kashe be'inech leitein li prusa achat? There was a king who made a banquet for his servants. His servants were enjoying the feast. Enter an impoverished man who stood at the entrance, waiting for someone to notice him and perhaps give him some food. But the servants, enjoying the feast themselves, did not give him bread, and did not even notice him. Out of desperation, the poor person burst forth into the king's chambers and said, Your Highness, out of this entire banquet that you put out, that you made here, is it really difficult in your eyes to give me one slice of bread? In the Nimshal, the king, of course, as always, is our Melch, Melchei HaMelchim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The poor person represents Chana, who is, in a sense, impoverished because she has no children. The banquet, of course, is all the many children who have been given to other people in the world. And the prusa, the little meager piece of bread, is the one child that she is requesting. What remains to be explained is, who are these servants, shelo hashgichu alav? Who are these servants who are not coming and providing the poor person with a little bit from the banquet? So it would be interesting at this point to look at a similar event in the Torah when Rachel talks to Yaakov about her barrenness. And she very dramatically says, Havali banim vim ayin meta anochi. Rachel says to Yaakov Avinu, give me children, and if not, I will die. Yaakov's response, Vayicharef Yaakov, he is upset. Vayomer, Hatachad Elokim Anochi, Asher Manami Mech Privaten, am I in place of God who has withheld from you the fruits of your womb? In both situations, we have a woman upset about the fact that she has no children. And interestingly, in both situations, we have a response after the husband's response. But what did Rachel actually expect? Did she expect that Yaakov provide her with some kind of medical intervention, that he somehow procure a child for her from somewhere? According to the Ramban, Rachel's expectation that Yaakov Avinu, the great tzaddik, would daven in a way that would be answered and provide her with a child. Chana, all of these years, perhaps, as taught us by this Agadita in Brachot, was relying on her husband, Elkanah, the great tzaddik. Presumably, she davened every single year, but presumably her tefillot this year were different than any year that preceded it. In Rachel's case, this moment is pivotal and causes her to take action, but that's for another share on Bereshit. In Chana's case, what she does is she goes and she davens as she has never davened before, knowing for the first time, realizing for the first time, that the only one who could provide her with something is the Ribono Shel Olam, understanding that those servants for whom she is waiting at the doorway to provide her with something, Elkanah, who she is relying on to pray for her, does not experience her plight in the same way as she does. And she davens as she never has before. Behi marat nefesh v'titpalal al Hashem. The Gemara tells us, points out, that the word El is not used, but al Hashem. Hiticha tvaraha klape mala. She flung her words heavenward. Let's look at the promise that she makes in her tefillah. Vatomer Hashem tzvakot imra'ot tireba ani amatecha uzechartani velo tishkachat amatecha v'natata la'amatcha zera anashim. She makes a promise and she says, Hashem, if you can see my plight, the plight of your poor servant, and you remember me and you do not forget your servant, and you give your servant zera anashim, which we will translate as great descendant, a great child, Unitativ Lashem kol yimei chayav. I will give him to Hashem all the days of his life. We might think that Chana, being so desperate, makes a meek request, please, some kinds of child, but she actually asks for a zera anashim. Anashim is a word that usually connotes somebody of distinction in the Torah. As the Gemara tells us, gavra beguvern, a man among men, or zera sheshaku kishnei anashim, a child who is the equivalent of two specific great people, Moshe and Aaron. Why is it that a woman who is so desperate to just have a child has such high expectations and such a seemingly demanding request? This brings to mind the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, where there is an artisan who is crafting a crown, putting in all kinds of gems to adorn it. A passerby says, what are you doing, when he sees the man working so diligently? The artisan responds, "I am making a crown for the king." "Ah," says the passerby, "in that case, anything, any gem that is precious that you could put in it, put into it. Chomer galiot tovot she'efshar lekboa bo kva she'atid lehinatein b'rosho shel melech, because it is this crown that will adorn the head of the king." If we look at her tefillah and we remember that she asked for a child who she plans on dedicating to the service of Hashem, unitativ l'Hashem, kol yimei chayav, then we can understand how she has the chutzpah to make such a request or a demand. This child is not for her own self-aggrandizement, not even for a little Yiddish anachas, but he will be for the service of Hashem. And after all, he has to be the most elevated that he could possibly be. She goes home, the family goes home, she conceives, gives birth. The next time the family goes up to Shiloh, she stays home with her child. And then when it's time to wean Shmuel, she goes back and she presents this child to Eli, the Kohen. And she says, El Hanar Hazeh Hitpalalti, Eli, it is for this child that you saw me davening. Let's listen to the words here, because very, very interesting play on words in the concluding psukim. Vayitein Hashem li et she'elati asher sha'alti me'imo. V'gam anochi hishaltihu l'Hashem kol hayamim asher hayahu sha'ul l'Hashem. Hashem gave me my request et she'elati asher sha'alti that I asked from him. V'gam anochi hishaltihu, and I, either according to Rashi, am lending him to Hashem now to serve him, or beautifully according to the Radak, I am returning him to Hashem. Hashem gave him to me, but I'm returning him to Hashem so that he could serve Hashem. And then she goes on to say that she will give him to Hashem. Hishiltihu Hashem, kol hayamim, Asher haya hu Sha'ul Hashem, for the duration of the time that he will be Sha'ul. One cannot escape the implication here, the use of the word Sha'ul, who was the first king he anointed. In fact, the Radak points out that she had Ruach HaKodesh at that moment, and that all the while that Shmuel will exist, so too Sha'ul will exist. The Perek concludes now, having introduced us to the spiritual beginnings of leadership in Am Yisrael. Shmuel, the anointer of the kings, is born out of Chana's completely sincere request to have a child that will be dedicated completely to the service of Hashem and his people, Am Yisrael, blazing the path and establishing the ideal of what a leader in Am Yisrael should be. If Sefer Shmuel is the beginning of a new era, then Shmuel HaNavi ushers in the ideal of what a manhig Yisrael should be. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.